To the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today we'll be talking about homosexual marriage, and to begin with some history, here in Colorado, way back in 1975, a homosexual citizen from Australia, a male, was attempting to get American citizenship, and he had a partner, a male in Colorado, and they were refused citizenship even after they brought evidence to court that a marriage ceremony had been conducted with a Colorado minister and that a marriage license had been issued by the county clerk in Boulder. Now, no surprise to anyone in the audience that if this had happened anywhere in Colorado, it would have been Boulder. Well, the Board of Immigration went to an appeals court with the Board of Immigration, and the court ruled that the word spouse ordinarily means someone not of the same sex. And then it noted the 1965 amendments to the Immigration Act, which expressly barred persons, quote, afflicted with sexual deviations, unquote, from entry into the country. And the court concluded that it was unlikely that Congress intended to permit homosexual marriages for purposes of qualifying as a spouse, a citizen. And therefore, the Immigration Act explicitly barred homosexuals from entering the United States. Now, fast forward to our Colorado Revised Statutes currently on the books, Colorado Revised Statutes, that's our state law book, section 14-2-104, which reads, it's very brief, it reads, except as otherwise provided in subsection 3 of this section, a marriage is valid in this state if, A, it is licensed, solemnized, and registered as provided in this part 1, and B, it is only between one man and one woman. So that's Colorado's state law. And then there's a simple sentence here, notwithstanding the provisions of another section of our law, any marriage contracted within or outside this state that does not satisfy paragraph B of subsection 1 of this section shall not be recognized as valid in the state. And of course, paragraph B is, it is only between one man and one woman. Now, that's the state of the law in Colorado. And of course, you know here at Bob Enyart Live that we are satisfied with that. We think that's appropriate. But we've invited onto the program a spokesman with the Human Rights Campaign, Michael Cole. Michael, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thanks, Bob.
Michael, please, we want you to make your case. Why do you think we're wrong? And perhaps we'll have a rousing discussion about this issue. You apparently think we should legalize homosexual marriage.
I do think that same-sex couples should be treated equally under the law. And I think that granting marriage rights to these couples is the way to do that. But there are people are going to disagree on this issue. It's hard for some people to sort of understand and come to that agreement on. But I think when we're talking about the federal constitutional amendment that is proposed in Congress, that there is a lot of opposition to using the Constitution to talk about same-sex marriage and to limit people's rights in that way. And I think that perhaps that's some place we can find more common ground.
Well, here we've been on the air for 13 years now, and we've discussed this issue. It's been a significant matter of public debate, controversy for almost that entire time. And we hold that homosexuality, because it's destructive, It's if you're going to love your neighbor, you're not going to encourage or further destructive behavior. So we certainly wouldn't advocate legalizing homosexual marriage because it gives a false sense of security to so many people who think, hey, this is okay what I'm doing. This is safe. In fact, the government even endorses this. This must be a healthy lifestyle. So perhaps since we disagree, we might have to focus on that underlying issue.
Bob, I obviously take issue with your characterization there. I think that it is a healthy lifestyle. I think that it is a fine lifestyle, and that it's that people don't want to see same-sex couples and gay and lesbian people discriminated based on just who they are.
Well, okay, who they are. If we look at human sexuality, obviously sexuality goes to the core of who we are as human beings.
I think one of the things, I guess, yes.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, one of, you know, probably the bestseller of all time says that he made them male and female right at the very beginning, so that sexuality, from whatever perspective you look at it, it goes to the core of who human beings are. And it's a very powerful force within us. And as with any powerful force, if you don't keep it in its proper constraint and have proper boundaries, like fire, it's great, unless it burns down your family and kills your kids. So how about the proper boundaries for sexual behavior? Michael Cole, spokesman with the Human Rights Campaign, what would you say are the proper boundaries for sexual behavior that the government should prohibit certain behavior and should permit all other behavior? Are you able to sum it up?
Bob, I'm not an expert on human sexual behavior by any means, and I wouldn't really pretend to be that. I think that when you're talking about government regulation,
right,
what's important to keep in mind is privacy concerns about what areas of life the government should and should not have jurisdiction over. And if the question is, should the government have jurisdiction over private people's bedrooms and their own consensual behavior, then I think the answer is no. And I think most people don't want to see the government play that sort of role in their life.
Okay. And Michael, you're right. I'm not asking you to be an expert in human sexuality, but just that issue that you're touching on there, the point at which the government, it's appropriate or inappropriate for the government to enforce a boundary for sexual morality. For example, you just said the government shouldn't be in our bedrooms. But I'm sure that we could come up with any number of examples of things going on in someone's bedroom that you would agree the government should stop the behavior if it became aware of the behavior.
What I said is that the government should not be intrusive into the bedrooms of adults in private consensual behavior that is not harming them or others.
Well,
thank you for allowing me to make that clarifying
statement. Okay, and that was okay, and that was quite a caveat. You said not harming them or others, and so then so if the behavior is harming them or others, then there is some kind of not bigoted, but some kind of a rational basis for the government to legislate restrictions if, in fact, the behavior is harmful to them or others. So you agree, then, that if homosexuality is destructive, it may very well be appropriate for gay marriage to be outlawed, but if homosexuality is good, then it should be legal. Do you agree with that bit of a concession there?
Not exactly, Bob. I think that people are going to disagree on the baseline issue of whether being gay is right or not. And this is based generally on a religious viewpoint. And people's religion should be respected and people should be entitled to that opinion. But what we're talking about here is matters of civil law and whether or not same-sex couples should be allowed the equal protection of the laws. You know,
okay.
If it's okay for you to marry the partner of your choice, then it should be okay for me to marry the partner of my choice.
All right. And Michael, I realize that people disagree on virtually any fundamental issue. There are racists who would not allow marriage between whites and blacks.
That's right.
But that wasn't my question. My question was, if in fact, because I was going off of something you said that I think is accurate, if consenting adults are in a private home and they're doing something that's not harming themselves or others, then the government has no authority there. But if what you said is true, then if consenting adults are doing something that's harming themselves or others, then the government does have a role, potentially. And so I asked you, can you not concede just this logic, this statement, I think, in logic, that if homosexuality is truly destructive, then the government should not legalize homosexual marriage. Would you agree with that?
Well, I would never concede the point that
no, I'm not asking you.
Is destructive.
Michael,
I think that's a red herring.
Well,
that,
Michael, I'm trying to go to our own, you and me, to our ability to think logically. In other words, I'm conceding that if homosexual marriage is good, if it's healthy, if it's good, then I'm wrong. And I'm trying to find out if I can get an equal sparring partner here at this level intellectually, and if you can at least reason through and say, if the conservative Christians are right, if homosexuality is bad, if it's destructive, then we should not legalize gay marriage. Could you concede that simple, neutral statement?
I think that that marriage is something that is good for society and good for individuals, and I think allowing gay people into that is good.
Okay.
That's the
okay.
position that I would take.
All right. Since you're not answering that question, let me throw this to you. This is an analogy. If we determine that a marriage between a father and a daughter is fundamentally destructive to society, even though they're both adults, because we see that that kind of intimate relationship is destructive to society at large, and so therefore the government does not recognize a marriage of incest between a father and his biological daughter. So I think you would therefore concede that even though they're consenting adults, because incest is so destructive, the government should not legalize incestuous marriages. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I think that incest is something we can all agree on is not a proper context for marriage.
Okay, so unless you're afraid of the simple force of the logic, you should be able then to agree that if, I'm not saying it is, but if homosexuality is destructive, we should oppose gay marriage. Could you agree? Because I'm agreeing if homosexuality is good, we should not oppose gay marriage. So can't you concede the reciprocal? It just seems a little, I didn't think this would be such a big stumbling point. It just seems a little.
Well, see, Bob, you're going to come back and argue that it is destructive. And I think that you're trying to put me in a box here, which is what I think is
well,
unfortunate.
Michael, there's no sense in me arguing that homosexuality is destructive. If the Human Rights Campaign, or you as their spokesman, if you guys think even if it's destructive, we want to promote it. See, if you guys think that,
I stridently disagree with that hypothetical.
I know you don't.
There's
but
no point
but,
in conceding
well,
something that I think is untrue.
I'm looking for intellectual honesty. I think it's untrue that homosexuality is good. But attempting to be intellectually honest, I could look at the world and assume that I'm not infallible. I'm not a know-it-all. So if I'm wrong on the issue of homosexuality, then I'm wrong on the gay marriage issue. But I can't get that same concession of not being omnipotent and omniscient from you, where you can't make the simple statement, if we're wrong on homosexuality, then we're wrong on gay marriage. That seems like you're coming from a position of fear of simple logic.
No, Bob, I disagree. I think that what I'm stridently upholding is the fact that being gay is not wrong, and it is not something that is damaging. And
right.
I don't want to go down this road with you.
Okay, well then, if I can't get you to concede that, there's no sense in you and I discussing whether or not homosexuality is good or bad, because to you it doesn't matter anyway.
No, Bob. I think what my position is that it is.
Let me state your position. Michael Cole, spokesman from Human Rights Campaign: homosexuality is good, and whether it's good or not, I don't care. I'm not going to address the consequences of what if I'm wrong. What if I'm what if I am fallible? And that's what I wanted to do. You and I have a discussion of what if I'm wrong. What if you're wrong? But you won't even address what if you're wrong. Does that seem like a position of strength to you?
You know, Bob, I really don't know that this bullying tactic is appropriate, and I'd rather move on to a different question.
All right. Well, thank you for letting us interview you. And, Michael, this will be on the internet at kgov.com for the next 10 years or so, and you could listen in and see if you think you were bullied. All right, or if I was just asking you a simple, straightforward question that you wouldn't answer. Thank you, Michael Cole.
Thanks, Bob.
All right. Now, the very issue, it would have been interesting to discuss homosexuality with Michael Cole. It would have been interesting to explore the issues that arise, such as if the government has no right to put a boundary around sexual behavior, then what does that mean for our society? And that's the typical cliched answer, that the government has no right in a private bedroom. But within 4 minutes of our conversation, Human Rights Campaign agreed that the government has every right to know what's happening in your bedroom if it's something sexually criminal. Now, am I getting that wrong? I'm asking my studio audience. Am I getting that wrong? Am I misinterpreting? According to Human Rights Campaign spokesman Michael Cole, if there is an incestuous relationship going on, that the government should not tolerate that. He didn't say that, actually. He agreed that the government should not affirm that by legalizing incestuous marriages. So even the homosexual activists believe that there is a proper boundary for sexual behavior. By the way, our phone number is 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278. I'd be interested to know what some of you out there think about, was I bullying Michael Cole? Perhaps he's used to interviews with softballs from the mainstream media, where if they ever do ask a tough question, which is not likely to homosexual activists, but if they do, he doesn't have to answer the question. He could skirt around it, pardon the pun. He could skirt around the question and then go on to a softball. And I simply wanted to have a serious discussion. All right. So at any rate, even the homosexuals acknowledge, for example, that the government should not legalize sex, incestuous relations, and give marriage licenses in that circumstance. There are all kinds of boundaries. Homosexuals and the society we live in, our culture, there used to be a boundary of sex within marriage, and they knocked down that boundary. And they said, don't tell me what to do, and now you can have sex outside of marriage. Then there was a boundary that sex could only be within marriage between the species. And they knocked down that boundary and said, don't tell me what to do. And now there's some boundaries about incest and, say, different species, which the porn industry certainly caters to all kinds of despicable perversions that are utterly destructive for society. Let's go to the phones. In Aurora, Colorado, 1-800-836-9278. Edward, speak your mind.
Yeah, I like your show. I listen to it, you know, whenever I can. And you weren't being, you know, bullheaded or anything and asking him a question. He saw, I think, the direction you were going with it, and he can't go that direction because he completely nullifies his whole belief.
Perhaps he felt that if theoretically he was to admit that even theoretically homosexuality might be wrong, or even theoretically he might be fallible, then he's afraid that he'd have to defend his underlying principles.
Yeah, and well, really, and on the basis that it's dangerous, and it is. It's a dangerous lifestyle. I mean, and that, I think, is what he was hopping around. I didn't think he wanted to go there with it because he does box his own self in.
Right.
And that's what's really funny is because he seems to be, you know, a smart guy, but yet his debate here on the matter is pretty ignorant.
Well, Edward, thank you for your call. And yeah, to me, I have a hard time with that. When people come to me and say, Bob, if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then Christianity is false. And you know what I say to them, Edward?
What's that?
I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I say, you're right. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then I'm a fool because I'm worshiping a dead guy. But if Jesus Christ did rise from the dead, then you're going to hell and
yeah.
You need to repent. So I'm not afraid to consider the possibility, at least in all the world of possibilities, that I'm wrong about a fundamental belief.
Yeah. And it's really sad because this whole thing in Massachusetts, it really opens up a can of worms. I mean, there's going to be people coming out of the woodwork wanting back benefits, wanting this, wanting that. And it's just not right. It's just not the way things are supposed to be. I mean, it's just common sense
yeah.
that,
well,
you know, it's only through a man and a woman that we,
well,
you know, populate the earth.
Of course, and God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. But, and Edward, back benefits are the least of our problems.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know.
In other words, everywhere you look, there are problems. Thank you so much, Edward. God bless
thanks.
You. Appreciate the call. 1-800-836-9278. So, and that, you know, some people might not understand. Some Christians might say, Bob, why would you concede that point that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, that Christianity is false? Why would you even go there? And I would go there because the Bible goes there. But before we talk about that, let's go to Denver. Tim, welcome to Bob and You're Live.
Hi, Bob. I just wanted to comment on your discussion with Michael Cole, was his name, right?
Yes.
I think you were very cordial and very, you know, you gave him every chance to make some kind of a stand. And I got to tell you, I've never, I'm 47 years old, I have yet to hear any kind of convincing argument or any kind of a stand on any issue that a homosexual person, a gay person, whatever, you know, whatever we're going to call them, make. You know, I've never heard anything.
Well, they've never convinced you.
No.
Well, and that's
tell you,
that's good, Tim. I'm glad to hear that.
I've been.
But you know what? You know what Jesus said about something like that? He said this in. We just did this in Sunday school at Denver Bible Church.
Okay.
In Matthew, I think it was Matthew. Oh, I forget the chapter right now. But he said, don't go patting yourself on the back and thinking you did a good job. He said, look, no kidding, homosexuality is destructive. But
oh,
anyway,
yeah.
that's a paraphrase of what the Lord said.
Well, and praise God. I mean, I understand that. And I came to the Lord when I was in college, and I was around a lot of any kind of religion and any kind of homosexuality, Eastern religions. I was around a lot of things, and you know, I tried to gain a little knowledge and insight and info from a lot of the people that I called my friends and acquaintances, And when I came to the Lord, I mean, I studied with people after that, months after that, who were homosexual. And a lot of them, when it came right down to being heartfully honest, just from their heart, it all came back to a sexual thing. And I've got friends today.
Hey, real quick, Tim, when he said, and this is the kind of cliches the homosexual activists use, he comes on the show, and doesn't this sound great? He says, all Americans deserve equal protection before the law. We should all have equal rights before the law. And we all think, praise the Lord. Yeah, I agree with that. But when we ask him, should an incestuous couple get a marriage license? He says, no. And somebody who advocates incest, or maybe a Mormon, a fringe Mormon who advocates polygamy, could say equal rights before the law. And I want a marriage license for me and my four wives, or some, you know, perverse incestuous relationship. We're equal rights before the law. We want a marriage license. So my point is, they use cliches while they avoid the basic issues. Tim, thank you so much for calling in.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
God bless you. I appreciate that. Warning, warning, warning. Will Robinson, their Bible verse up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Yurt Live that you would like to censor anyone who dare quote a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. All right, the Apostle Paul, this just cracks me up. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, he was dealing with the issue of not gay marriage. He was dealing with the issue of Christianity, which he had promoted. He gave up his life to evangelize for Christianity. And you know what he said in 1 Corinthians 15? He said, if Christ is not raised from the dead, then we of all men are the most pitiable. We are the greatest fools if Christ is not raised from the dead. Now that's called intellectual honesty. And he's dealing with everything there. To Christians, it's not just a marriage license and medical benefits. It's your eternal soul. It's your entire life. It's all your worth and value as a human being. And we Christians are able to say with the Apostle Paul, if Christ is not risen from the dead, then Christianity is false. But if he has, then you need to humble yourself before him. So look at that. We're out of time. We got a video. This video will blow you away. It's Terry's call. Terry's call. And it's a homosexual who called into Bob and Yurt Live and just hated my guts and Christians like me until he became a Christian on that program. And he called in a few times. We ended up sending him money to come out to live here in Denver, go to our church, because he said everyone at his church was a homosexual. And the thing that finally got to him when we were arguing, the thing that got to him was when I said, Terry, the men that have been with you, they didn't love you, they used you. And his voice started to break. And I said, and those men, you didn't love them, you used them. And he said that was true. And by the way, he had AIDS, advanced AIDS. And on his way here to Denver, he died, a great tragedy. But we love Terry. We can't wait to see him in heaven. Hey, we're out of time. Check out our website, KGov, KGov.com. This is Bob and Yurt reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.